We welcome everyone back to our service this evening. Our study from Isaiah chapter 53. This afternoon we have verses 7 and verse 8 in consideration. And we find these verses also in Acts chapter 8 in the example of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's begin by reading in Acts chapter 8, we're going to read verses 26 through verse 40. There the Bible says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went on down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." You know, in the book of Acts, in the examples of conversions, up to this point have involved large numbers of people. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people who obeyed the gospel. That's in Acts 2, verse 1 through 41. And then there were the 5,000 on Solomon's porch, Acts 4, verse 1 through 4. And then there were the multitudes in Samaria, Acts 8, verse 5 through verse 13. And in each case, the gospel message was basically the same. Christ is proclaimed. The response of those hearing the gospel included faith, repentance, and baptism. Now we have the example of the Ethiopian eunuch. Not a multitude, but the conversion of just one person. Here was a man that had just been to Jerusalem to worship God, and yet he was not saved in Jerusalem, but in the desert. And rather being led to the Lord by one of the apostles there in Jerusalem, or even Peter or John in the Samaritan cities, he was converted through Philip, who was divinely directed to him in that remote desert place. You would think that the first Gentile convert, especially mentioned in Acts, would have been won by an apostle. How strange are the ways of God. The salvation of this Ethiopian eunuch was clearly a matter of divine election and calling, just as much so as Philip was a choice as the human instrument, a part of God's sovereign will. Before we continue, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, over the past year, we have spent a lot of time studying verses in the Old Testament and the prophecies, and finding those prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament. It's like one reference said, the big book, we have the big book, the Old Testament, and we have the little book that explains the big book, the New Testament. So that's been what we have, what I've learned over these past few studies. From the reading, we know that the eunuch was a very religious man. He had traveled a long distance to worship in Jerusalem. One reference indicated that he had actually traveled some 775 miles to worship. From the eunuch's reading from the scriptures when Philip found him is another indication that this was a religious man. More examples of conversion involve devout people. The 3,000 on the day of Pentecost who had traveled to observe that feast, the Bible refers to these in Acts 2 and verse 5 as devout men from every nation under heaven. Saul of Tarsus, after his conversion, became the Apostle Paul. He was converted and became, the Bible says, he was a Pharisee, zealous for the law. And then there was Cornelius, the devout Gentile who feared God and prayed always. Lydia, a woman who met every Sabbath to pray with others. So here's what we learn from the following. Just because one is religious doesn't mean that they are saved. Religious people are often very good prospects for the gospel. They already fear God and they already have a respect for his authority. So they simply need to be shown the way of God more accurately. And we have the example in Acts 18, verse 24 of Aquila and Priscilla. After they had heard Apollos, it says that they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Those who truly seek God's will one day have an opportunity to hear the gospel and obey it. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. This doesn't mean that the worst sinners are not receptive. Take in consideration the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through verse 11. There it says, do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, or sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But good people are more open to the Word of God. What does it mean to preach Jesus? From Isaiah's quotations of verses such as the ones that Brother Paul pointed out to us this past Wednesday evening, we know it involves teaching. Philip asked the eunuch, do you understand what you are reading? The eunuch said, how can I unless someone guides me? And the place in the scripture which you read was this. It was Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. So I'm confident that Philip told the eunuch how Jesus died for our sins. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through verse 4, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I'm convinced that he also told the eunuch how Jesus had been exalted by God. In Acts 2 and verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And from the eunuch's question in verse 36 of the text, we know that it includes stressing the importance of baptism. Why did the eunuch ask, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Maybe Philip told him that what the Lord had said in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, where he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Perhaps because Philip told him the purpose of baptism, as expressed by Peter and by Paul in Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And Peter, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, he says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." We learn from this that baptism is the expected response when one believes in Jesus. And when did it take place? It was immediately. Why did the eunuch ask to be baptized right then? He says, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" The purpose of baptism is such that one does not want to delay. It is for the remission of sins, according to Acts verse 2:38. Before baptism, there is no remission of sins. It is to have one's sins washed away, according to Acts 22 and verse 16. And before baptism, we still remain in sin. It is the appeal for a clear conscience, according to 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. So in every example of conversion found in the book of Acts, people were baptized immediately after just one lesson. From Philip's qualification, we know it requires explaining the necessity of faith in Jesus as the Son of God. In John 8 and verse 24, we read, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And in John 20, verse 30 and 31, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Without faith, God will not do his work in our baptism. Colossians 2 and verse 12, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." God has always required wholeheartedness in our faith. In Matthew 22 and verse 37, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." So without wholeheartedness, even those that are saved are in danger of falling away. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and verse 14, It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Unless you believe with all your heart, you're not a subject for baptism. Baptism, as we learn, involves a lot of water. In verse 38, when the eunuch was baptized, there was a lot of water. The Bible says both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And in verse 39, it says, they came up out of the water. And later we see the same truth expressed by Peter in Acts 10, verse 47 and verse 48. It says, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Baptism involves a burial in water. If sprinkling satisfies the meaning of baptism, it seems strange that Philip would need to go down into the water. Why get wet when all he needed to do was get a handful of water? Baptism means to immerse, and that requires the baptizer to get in the water with the one being baptized. And baptism is not a public confession of one's faith. Some say that the purpose of baptism is to publicly confess one's faith in Christ, especially those who deny that baptism is for the remission of sins. Trying to provide a reason for baptism, they offer this as an alternative. But the Bible nowhere says this is the purpose for baptism. If the purpose for baptism is to publicly confess one's faith, why did Philip baptize the eunuch to start with? There was no one else around to witness the baptism. They were all alone in the desert. Why did Philip answer the eunuch's question? Or why wouldn't he have answered the question differently? He wanted to know what would hinder him from being baptized. If baptism is a public confession of one's faith, we would expect Philip to say he must wait until we get to town, or maybe until we find a church. So the purpose of baptism is just that it can be done in public or in private. With thousands present, or with just one doing the baptizing. In conclusion, with the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, we are impressed with the simplicity of the gospel and of salvation. With a simple presentation of the gospel, one can be saved after just one lesson. Whether it is preached to one person or whether it is preached to a large crowd, the gospel is indeed the power of God unto salvation, as we read in Romans 1 and verse 16. And when the gospel of Jesus is truly preached, one will understand after hearing the word that faith is necessary, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. They will understand the importance of a repenting heart, knowing that there are things that they will no longer be able to do, and maybe some things they can no longer say, and maybe there are groups of folks that they can no longer associate with. The death of Jesus for our sins will be stressed. The importance of baptism commanded by Jesus will be told as well, in a way that people will want to know what hinders me from being baptized. Also in a way that people will want to be baptized immediately. The purpose of baptism will be perfectly understood, knowing that one can be baptized in private or in public. And also, that without baptism, there is no remission of sins. The necessity for a wholehearted faith in Jesus will be emphasized. Otherwise, one simply gets wet in baptism. If there's one that is subject to the gospel call, would you come?